Welcome to our morning online service from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. We are online today. We have no congregation with us. I'll say a little bit more about that during the announcements. Our presbytery took the decision on Friday night, given the COVID pandemic and the ongoing situation, to immediately suspend all public services and to revert to an online ministry. I'll say a little bit more about that in the announcements, but we're just making you aware of that at the commencement of our service. So to our congregation who are tuning in at home, and maybe to others who normally tune in over the web, we want to welcome you. And while the service will be slightly different than the normal public services, we trust that it will be a blessing, particularly the preaching of the word. We must remember in these times that the preaching of God's word is the chief means of grace, and it is a blessing to the hearts of God's people. And it is our prayer this morning that as the word of God is preached, though it be via the online ministry, that it will be a means of blessing and help and encouragement to your soul in these most difficult and unusual days in which we live. We're going to commence our service by listening to a hymn. Well, it's really a psalm, and you are very welcome to sing along at home. It's the Psalm 124, "Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey." We listen to this psalm at the commencement of our service.
Thank you. wasn't Psalm 124, but nevertheless, it's a lovely hymn to listen to, and it is good to sing about the grace of God. We do not know why the Lord bestowed his grace upon us, but by the grace of God, we who are saved, we are what we are, and we thank the Lord for his grace in our lives. Now we're going to commit our service to the Lord in prayer and seek his blessing upon the service this morning. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning in the Saviour's blessed and his worthy and his holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the reality of God's existence. We thank you that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. And we thank you, Lord, that thou dost have a plan and a purpose that thou art fulfilling through thy creation and upon the earth. And in times like this, Lord, when there is so much confusion and our daily lives are disrupted in so many ways, there is sickness and the pandemic stalking the land, it's good to be reminded that God is still on the throne, that God is in control, and that God is working all things to an expected end. We know, Lord, that thy word prophesies and tells us that from the first to the second coming of Christ, this age would be marked by wars, by famines, by pestilences. And, O God, we can see these things unfold. We see them all around us, even in our own lifetime. We have witnessed wars. We have witnessed famines. And now, Lord, we are witnessing a pandemic, a pestilence. And, O God, our Father, we know that these things are the effect of sin. Or they are the result and consequences of sin in this world. And, O Father, we do pray that as we watch events unfold and seek to do the right thing for ourselves and for the church and for society, that, O God, it will please thee to visit us and to draw near to us, to, Lord, remove in thy time this pandemic and virus that is going on all around us. And, O God, our Father, we come today with hearts burdened for those who are sick, for those who are bereaved, for those who are troubled. We want to remember those members and friends of our own congregation who are sick today, and some with this virus. We pray that thy healing hand will be upon them, that thou wilt touch them and strengthen them and bring them through. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt restore to them a sound and good measure of health and strength. And may the comfort of the Lord be near them and with them at this present and particular time. We ask thee, dear Heavenly Father, for those who mourn. And especially we are mindful today of the Campbell and the Briggs families who have suffered bereavement through the home call of George. We thank you for George's life. We thank you for his salvation. How he recalled it on numerous occasions to us when we visited him before this pandemic. We thank you for a life that was transformed by the gospel. We thank you that the Lord was able to deliver George from his drink problems. We thank you that you made him a trophy of grace and sent him to the mission field later in life. No, God, our Father, we thank you that God is in the soul-saving business, that the gospel transforms and changes lives, that the Lord can deliver the alcoholic, the Lord can renew the drug addict, the Lord can save the deepest dyed sinner, make them a child of God and a trophy of grace, can give them new life, new desires, to live for the Lord and to seek Him. We thank You for the marvel of salvation in George's life. And as he has gone home to be with Christ, we pray that Thou will comfort his sorrowing family. And this afternoon, as we conduct the funeral service, may grace and help be given. And Lord, may Thy hand be upon his family. We pray now for this service. Lord, we would readily confess that, Lord, online services, they are not the same as public worship. We're not convinced of they have the same benefit to God's people either. We miss the fellowship and the company of God's people. But we understand for this season that it is the means we must revert to. And we pray that as we listen to the hymns and as we preach the word, and we do thank You, Lord, that preaching is the chief means of grace. And Lord, we can have this facility to proclaim the gospel and bring the word into the homes of our people, whether it be live by sermon audio or Facebook, or for others who will receive it in DVD form at a later date. We thank You that the word can be sent and can be listened to even at this present time. And we pray to that end that Thou will bless it. We pray especially, Lord, for our presbytery and for our overseers, that, Lord, Thou will give to us wisdom and understanding, help, Lord, Thy leading at this time, that, Lord, we will know what to do even as the weeks roll on. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that Thou will keep Thy people safe. Keep us free, Lord, from this virus. Keep it nigh, away from our dwelling places. And, O God, our Father, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou will be pleased to speak to the nations and to the people at this time. Show them, reveal Thyself to them, Lord, that there's a God in heaven, that He is over all and in all and through all. And they should humble themselves and seek Him for salvation and for, Lord, the removal of this virus. May men and women and our rulers and leaders not be as Pharaoh. Lord, we fear that this generation is worse than Pharaoh. For when Thou didst send the plagues to Egypt, Pharaoh acknowledged, this is the finger of God. He could see, and he was told by his magicians, the hand of God was in it. Yet today, Lord, it grieves us. National governments refuse to acknowledge Thee or Thy hand in this matter, Thy power to take it away. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt not, Lord, have men and women to be so hard-hearted, but that Thou wilt soften their hearts. Cause men and women to seek Thee. We cast ourselves upon Thee. To whom else can we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We cast ourselves upon Thee. Do bless and undertake for those who minister to the sick and serve in the health service. We pray that, Lord, they will be strengthened and enabled to provide the care that is needed. And, O God, we commit our way to Thee at this time. And ask for Thy blessing now upon our worship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, at this stage in our service, we will read the Holy Scriptures together. And our Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 16. We're reading from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Take your Bible, even in the home place. I know you're maybe sitting in front of your iPad or your laptop or your maybe even just your phone. But while it's good to listen to the words of Scripture, do have the Bible with you and endeavor to follow on. Take the time quietly just to read and ponder the Holy Scriptures as we read them. Matthew 16 and the verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. We conclude our reading at the end of the chapter and trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This morning now, to the boys and girls, we have a little apology to make this morning. We had advertised on the Facebook page that Uncle Philip Harton, would be here this morning to do a children's address as part of the service. But unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, sort of at the last minute, last evening, Philip is not able to be with us this morning. And so we can't have that children's address. But we will hope to have some children's addresses in the coming weeks. And if you listen carefully to the announcements, there will be provision for the children during the week in relation to some online ministry. So I apologize for that, and hopefully we'll have that sorted in the weeks that are to come. Now, I'm going to give the announcements at this stage in the service. We do welcome each one who is tuning in online and trust that you're safe and well and that the Lord will bless you. Can I say again that due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, and given the rise in cases throughout the province, our presbytery met on Friday night to consider the situation, and by the end of our presbytery took the decision to immediately suspend all services of public worship within the Free Presbyterian Church here in Northern Ireland, and that situation will be reviewed at our February presbytery. So do please note that there will be no public services for the rest of the month of January. We will revert to our online ministry on a Sunday and a Wednesday night, and those that don't have internet access, we will endeavour to get either DVDs or CDs to you. That may be on a fortnightly basis, but you will get the CDs or DVDs of each service, God willing. There is a full statement from our presbytery. It is available on our Facebook page. You can read that if you so desire. Do please note that our presbytery is calling for more prayer in relation to the growing situation, or the ongoing situation, that the Lord would be pleased to be merciful to the country, the nations, and in his time remove the virus and pandemic from our midst. I want to also take a moment at this stage in the announcements to ask you to pray for the sick and the bereaved. I am prepared to say this, that there are members of our own congregation who are suffering from the virus at this present moment in time, and I would ask you please to pray for their recovery and their health. Others we have heard of family members or friends of members of the congregation are also suffering, and do please remember these people in your prayers. We also want to pray for the bereaved. It is with great sadness that we have to announce the passing of one of our members, Mr. George Campbell. Sadly, George passed away early on Friday morning, having tested positive for COVID and was in hospital for a period of time. The funeral service is this afternoon at 2:30. It is strictly private under COVID regulations. The service will be live streamed from the church here, and we do ask you to pray for the Campbell family circle and also the Briggs family as well, the church connection with the Briggs family have with the Campbell family. And we trust that you will pray that God will comfort them and bless them at this time of sad loss. And on behalf of the congregation, we do express our deepest sympathies to the Campbell family. Now, the online ministry continues tonight at 7 p.m., the evening gospel service. I will be the preacher, and Mr. Nathan Crozier will minister in song. Wednesday night at 8 p.m., there will be a Bible study and call to prayer, and that will be on the church's Facebook page. Then on Friday night, now please note, this is a new venture or endeavour for this period of online ministry, but on Friday night we hope to have an online children's meeting. Our session agreed to this on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Parents, please take note, 7 p.m. there will be an online children's meeting for the boys and girls, and again, it's on the Facebook page of the church. And then at 8 p.m., our brother Stephen, the youth leader, is hoping to have a youth fellowship Zoom meeting Now, he will be in contact with the young people at the start of the week, or their parents, to issue them with the details. This is sort of a trial thing, and if it goes well and the interest there from the young people to tune in, then we can, Stephen would intend to keep that going through the lockdown. But Friday night will be a trial, and as I say, Stephen will be in contact via WhatsApp or whatever with the young people and the parents. So please take note of that, young people, and there is the opportunity to have some online fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. through the youth group. Next Lord's Day, Sunday, 11:30 and 7 p.m., the online ministry will continue, and God willing, I will be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day. Now, those are all the announcements today. Before we have the preaching of the word, we're going to listen to another hymn. My understanding is it's Standing on the Promises of God, and we trust that the hymn will be a blessing to you.
Thank you.
Well, we'll turn again in God's Word this morning to Matthew chapter 16. And before we preach the Word of God, let's just unite together briefly in a word of prayer and ask for His help upon the service this morning. Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that we can proclaim Thy Word. We pray that this text of Scripture that we highlight now and we proclaim, that Lord, it will be a means of blessing, not now, but throughout the year. We do ask that Thou will continue to build Thy church, and may the gates of hell not prevail against it. Lord, I am weak. And Lord, I feel my need of divine help. And in the midst of all that is taking place in this world, in life in general, I pray that now I might be a vessel emptied of self, filled with the Spirit, to minister to God's people. So take me up and use me now. I pray this humbly and for the glory of Christ and His church. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Having been off last Sunday, I want this morning to preach upon a motto text for 2021. It is our tradition in Bethany to highlight a text at the start of the year that we make our motto text for the year ahead. And this year, I want to take as the motto text of our church and congregation the final part of verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This verse, or part of the verse, could be described as Christ's reassurance to His church. Now, down through the ages, this verse, verse 18 in its entirety, has caused both great controversy, but also given great comfort. The controversy surrounds a question: who is the rock upon which the church is built? Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who is that rock? That's the controversy that has been caused down through the ages. Is the rock Peter, as the Church of Rome claims and has maintained for centuries? We read the verse, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And Rome claims that the Lord Jesus was promising to build His church upon Peter. They go on to claim that Peter was the first pope, and through apostolic succession, the popes follow on in the place of the apostles, and therefore the papacy and the Church of Rome is the rock upon which Christ would build His church. And they conclude from that the Church of Rome is the true church, and anyone outside it is lost. We ask the question, is that the case? Is Peter the rock upon which the church was built? Or, as historic Protestantism has affirmed and believed, is Christ the rock on which the church is built? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are many ways to prove that Jesus Christ is the rock upon which the church is built. Let me draw your attention to just one of them. In this verse, the Lord mentions Peter. Thou art Peter. And the name Peter is the Greek word Petros. Thou art Petros. And the word Petros refers to a stone. It means a stone. But it's not a large stone. In fact, it's a small stone, a stone that could be kicked about the road. You imagine a young fellow, a young child, a young boy, and he's walking up the road and he's no football, but he sees a little stone and he kicks the stone up the road, up the footpath, and as he walks up, the word is he kicks it on again. That little stone, a stone that could be kicked or moved about. That's the idea of Petros. Thou art Petros, a stone. And upon this rock, now the word rock is the Greek word Petra. It's a different word. And it's not referring to a small stone that could be moved or kicked about, but it's referring to an immovable rock. The same word rock is used at the end of Matthew chapter 7 when the Lord told a parable. He talked about the man who built his house in the sand, and when the storm came, the house fell down. But the wise man built his house upon the rock, and when the storm came, the house stood firm. And the word rock in Matthew 7, speaking about a firm foundation, an immovable foundation, it's the same word that's used here in our text. It's an immovable rock. Foundation, a firm foundation. Thou art Peter, the stone. Does that not describe Peter's character? He was changeable. One moment he was set to die with Christ. The next he was going to deny Christ. He could be moved about. Thou art Peter. Thou art Petros, the stone. But upon this rock, the immovable rock, I will build my church. And you go through the Bible and you discover that every time the rock is used symbolically, it is symbolizing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the smitten rock. He is the rock of ages. He is the rock that the psalmist referred to that is higher than I. Paul said of the rock in the wilderness in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, that rock was Christ. And so to settle the controversy, Jesus Christ was not saying he would build his church upon a fallible man and his successors, but that he would build his church upon the immutable, unchanging Christ of God. That settles the controversy. But this verse has not only been or caused great controversy, it has given great comfort to the true people of God down through the ages. And the comfort is this, that in spite of the sinfulness of every generation, in spite of the opposition of man and hell, in spite of the changing scenes and circumstances in life, Jesus Christ will build his church upon earth. And that surely is a comfort. It's a comforting and victorious reassurance from the Lord. 2020 was the most unusual year that most of us have lived through. 2021 has started no different. There is a health crisis in the nations. Medical experts and scientific people are at best groping in the dark to find solutions. We hope there will be a medical solution soon. We hope that God will be gracious and remove the virus. But these are uncertain times. Times when public worship has been halted. times whenever we have not been able to engage in the normal course of evangelism that we would usually engage in. Perhaps we ask the question, what of Christ Church from here on? What of Christ Church for 2021 and beyond? My friends, today let these words comfort your heart. Jesus reassured his church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a comfort that is to know. What a text to take into 2021 and to lay upon our hearts, regardless of what takes place. Christ will build his church. Now, there are three things I want to highlight from our motto text. I want you firstly to see that within the Savior's words here, there is a picture of the church. A picture of the church. Look at the verse again. And notice the word build. I will build my church. The church is pictured or likened to a building. In other places in the Bible, the church is likened to a bride, the bride of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, the church is likened unto a body with many members. But here, the Lord is likening his church to a building. Now, don't misunderstand what I am saying, and don't misunderstand what Christ is teaching. The church is not the bricks and mortar of a building. Whether it's a Free Presbyterian building, or a Baptist building, a Brethren building, a Methodist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Pentecostal building, the church is not literal bricks and mortar. Nor is the church in the strictest sense a denomination. Regardless of how sound and biblical a denomination may be. Church denominations may be make up part of the visible church on earth, but the church in its strictest sense is not a denomination, and it is not limited to one denomination. No, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of those who have been born again of God's Spirit. They're washed in the Savior's blood. Do you see the word church there in verse 18? It's the Greek word ecclesia, and it literally means called out ones. While the word church is used biblically to refer at times to a local congregation, or a collection of congregations, yet in this text, and primarily, the word church refers to those individuals who are called out of the world, called out of their state of darkness, called out of their state of sin, called out of the kingdom of Satan, and placed into the body, or the kingdom, or the building, or the bride of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they become His children. Church then is the called out ones. And this is confirmed. And if you take just one text, there's many texts we could give as proof texts. But if you turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 23, you will see in these words the confirmation that the church is the company of believers called out of the world, called out of sin, and into the kingdom of God's dear Son by salvation. Hebrews 12 and the verse 23. To the general assembly and the church. There's the word again. It's the church of the firstborn, the church of Christ, which are written in heaven. Do you see that? The church, the ecclesia. They are those whose names are written in heaven. And every believer, the Bible tells us, has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The church then is made up of those who are saved, those who are redeemed, those whose names are written in heaven. That's the definition of the Church of Jesus Christ, invisible on this earth. It's made up of all believers in all nations, born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the Savior's blood. But come back to our text in Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 18. And Christ, for our understanding, he likens or he pictures the church to his building. And I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, because Peter picks up on this illustration or this likeness of the church to a building. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, he gives us this same illustration. He says, ye also. In fact, let's just read verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's speaking of Christ. Christ came as a living stone, but he was disallowed, or he was rejected of men, but chosen of God. Men rejected Christ, but he was chosen of God to be that living stone. Look at verse 5. Ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house. And there's the idea of Christ's church is a building. It's a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. Look at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Now you put the picture of these verses together. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. That's our text. He is the rock on which the church is built. The Jews and men rejected him. They despised him and they crucified him. But he was chosen of God to be the foundation stone on which his church would be built. He is that foundation stone. And every believer, look at what it says in verse 5, is a lively living stone that is built into his foundation and is the building of God, a spiritual temple. I remember when I was a teenager hearing a chorus I hadn't heard until my teenage years. It was one that they introduced to the children's meeting in my home church, and it went something like this: building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Boys, won't you help us? Girls, won't you help us? Building up the temple of the Lord. The church of Jesus Christ is pictured or likened to a spiritual house. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. It is to him men must believe in for salvation. And believing in him, they are likened to a stone that is built in to the edifice of his spiritual temple. I will build my church. And Christ is building his church in this day and generation. So in our text, there's a picture of the church. The church is likened to a spiritual house, a building that believers are built into. But secondly, this morning, I want you to notice the promise for the church. And I'm particularly drawing your attention to that little phrase. We're back in Matthew 16 and our text of verse 18 now. I'm drawing your attention to that little phrase, I will build. And focus in your mind just for a moment or two, those two words, I will. Doesn't say I hope to. He didn't say to Peter, I plan to, but depending on certain circumstances, depending on the faithfulness of those that help me, or depending on the fact that my enemies will not rage against me or succeed. I hope to. I would like to. No, he said, I will. That little phrase, I will, coming from the lips of Jesus Christ, the King and head of his church, God incarnate. It's a statement of divine assurance and absolute certainty. When Jesus said, I will, it was a guarantee of divine plan and purpose that would be fulfilled. I wonder, have you ever studied or thought about those statements that Jesus made, the I wills of Christ? There are many of them in the Gospels, and maybe sometime we'll do a little series and a little study on the I wills of Christ. Let me give you a few of them just to show you that this promise, this statement, I will, it was a statement of divine assurance and absolute certainty that the Lord Jesus fully intended and would fulfill. In Matthew 4 and 19, to his first disciples, he said, I will make you fishers of men. Peter, to Andrew, to James and John, you're fishermen. You sail in your little boats, you endeavor to catch fish. I'm now going to make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. I will do it. You read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts, and on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were used of God to see 3,000 men brought to Jesus Christ, to saving faith in him and baptized. You read on and there's another 5,000, the endeavors of the apostles added to the church in Acts 3 and Acts 5. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, and he did it. I could mention, I have 4 or 5 written down here. To the leper, he said, I will, be thou clean. An incurable disease has filled this man's body, is rotting his flesh, and he's living a living death. And he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I believe you can do it. Make me clean. Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. And that incurable, humanly speaking, incurable disease had to flee his body. I will do it. John 2 and 19, to the Pharisees, he said, destroy this temple. Destroy my body. And they did destroy his body. They nailed him to the cross. Destroy this body. And I will raise it up 3 days. He said he would. I will, and he did. For on the third day he rose from the grave. Triumphant. He said to his disciples in John 16 and 22, before he was crucified, I will see you again. And on the resurrection evening, he went into the midst among the disciples and he stood in their midst and he said, peace be unto you. I will see you again. And he did. He said to them in John 15 and 26, I will send unto you the Father, even the Spirit. I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit. He said, I will. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out the Holy Ghost upon his disciples. I will. We could go on. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Be rest assured he will come. He'll come the second time in power and glory, descending from heaven, and every eye shall see him. I repeat, when Jesus says, I will, it is certain to be done, and therefore his church will be built up. Let me emphasize from this promise a couple of things that he will do. I will build my church. It is Christ who builds his church. Like the Apostle Paul, we may have a role to play in planting the gospel seed. Like Apollos, we may have a role to play in watering it, but only Christ, only the Lord can give the increase. It is not the minister, it is not the evangelist, it is not the denomination, it is none of these things that build up the church. And we live in a superficial society. And sadly, some professing Christians think to themselves, you know, if we could only do this or introduce this to the church ministry, or we could do this, or if we could get a charismatic leader, or we could an outward personality or a great orator, my, the church will be built up again. I say again, every believer has a role to play in sowing the seed and seeking to water it. But it's not the Christian, it's not the minister, it's not the evangelist, it's not the denomination that builds the church. It is Christ. I will build my church, he said. And therefore, it is Christ that we must look to. It is Christ that we must pray to. It is Christ that we must call upon. Lord, fulfill your promise and build your church. We also say that Christ builds his church by conversions. That's what was referred to in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I think it's worthy to turn to that verse again. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter likening the church to the spiritual building, the temple. And he says in verse 5, ye also, that is, ye believers, those who have trusted in Christ, ye also as lively stones. The word lively means living. Living stones. The believer, before they were saved, you're just a dead stone. A stone is dead. There's no life in it. But when you trust Jesus Christ, you're given life. You become alive. You're regenerated. You're born of the Spirit. You become the recipient of spiritual life, an everlasting life, an eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Once we were dead in sin, but now we live unto God. And it says that ye as lively stones, being born again, having spiritual life, you're built into the spiritual house, the temple of God, not made with hands. It's conversion that builds the church of Christ, and it's as it is only Christ that can save, for salvation is of the Lord, then it's only Christ that can build his church. He builds his church by conversions. Let me nail the lie. Let me nail the delusion that some people have that baptism somehow puts men into the church of Christ. And when they're baptized as an infant, they become part of the church of Christ. Let me tell you something. Baptism might get your name on a denominational roll, but it doesn't place you into the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn. Only conversion can do that. Only salvation can do that. And I tell you what the children need and what adults need is not the ritual of baptism or the Lord's table. They don't need to become religious in the rites and duties they perform. They need to be born again. And when they're born again, they're taken as lively stones, placed into the church of Jesus Christ. And the church is built up, and it's built up by conversion, and it's conversions we need, and it's conversions we long for this year, that the Lord will build his church by saving sinners, by saving our friends, our loved ones, our relatives, our neighbors. We pray to this end that Christ will build his church by conversion. That's his promise. If Jesus said he will build his church, then Jesus is going to save souls. Hallelujah. Because he only builds his church by conversions. We've considered the picture of the church. We have considered the promise for the church. I want this morning in closing from this text for you to see the permanence of the church. Look back at our text, Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church. Now notice this bit. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church and Jesus Christ have enemies. And the chief enemy is the devil. J.C. Ryle preached a wonderful sermon on this verse. I think it's contained in the book entitled Holiness. Don't hold me to that, but it's a long time since I've read it. I think his sermon's contained in that book of his. But on this verse, J.C. Ryle stated, by the gates of hell, we understand Jesus was speaking about the power of the prince of hell. That is the devil. You see, the ancient gates of a city symbolized its strength. The lesson is that the devil, the prince of the power of hell, that is the devil, will seek to use all his strength and all his might to come against the church of Jesus Christ on earth. For he sees a successful attack upon the church as a successful attack upon Christ. And the gates of hell will come against the church. The strength of hell and the power of Satan will come against the church of Christ. And we must expect it. And we must understand it to be so. The church will not have a plain, smooth sailing passage to heaven. We will face the enemy of hell and the enemy of the devil. You get a glimpse of that. The devil's attack on the church in Revelation chapter 12. You have pictured the woman. She's heavy, expecting the man-child. And the man-child was born who would rule the nations with a rod of iron. And it's a picture of Jesus Christ coming into the world and how the devil attacked the man-child, but he was caught up into heaven and preserved the Father. But the devil turned his attention to the woman, and the woman, the pure woman in the Bible, is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, and he sought to attack her with a flood. He came against her as like a flood. Yet the Lord prepared a refuge for that woman in the wilderness. The presentation and the spiritual lesson from that prophecy is that though Satan would rage against the woman, the church of Christ, the Lord would preserve her. The Lord would find a place of refuge in the wilderness for her. And so the Lord will preserve his church, no matter how fierce the devil and the powers of hell rage and roar against it. And down through history, friends, the devil has raged against the church so severely. At times he has almost blotted it out from the earth. We think of the pre-Reformation days when there was just little groups of Waldensians and the Albigensians there in the Alp mountain range. They were faithful to God but persecuted by Rome. Yet the Lord forbid the light to be extinguished completely. He preserved his church, and then he furthered his church, and he built it up in Reformation times. And I'm saying that to you to show you that the church of Jesus Christ shall remain, and there will be a witness and a light on this earth right until the time that Jesus comes. He will find faith on earth at his coming. Luke 18, verse 8. Wonder, do you ever read those passages about the second coming of Jesus? Sometimes we can get so taken up with the events that are taking place on earth and things that are happening that we neglect some very simple truths. I was thinking of the great resurrection scene in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. It speaks about the Lord descending and the dead in Christ rising first. Paul said, then we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall be caught up to meet him. There'll be believers Christians, there'll be a church of Jesus Christ on this earth when the Son of God descends. Hell can never extinguish the light of the gospel. Hell can never bury the church of Christ on this earth. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Christ will preserve his church upon this earth until the day he comes again to receive his people unto himself and to usher in his reign. And as we close this morning, let's just pause for a moment again to ponder, to encourage our hearts and to think and consider. How much concern has it caused us? We're 10 months into what has been very severe restrictions on all our liberties. Commenced last March. And it has affected the Church of Christ. It has affected our ministry. It has affected our evangelism. Folks, we've sought to do the best that we can, but our ministry has not been the same in the past 10 months. Our evangelism has been curtailed, and we wonder, what of the future? When will it end? How many believers will be taken to glory before this is all over? What state will the church be in when we finally get back to some sense of normality? These are genuine questions, sincere questions, concerning questions for genuine believers in the work of God. I want to say to you today, dear child of God, don't let the worry, the anxiety, the concerns overrun your heart. Because what I know is this: Jesus Christ has given a promise that cannot be overthrown, that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He can build it now in this time. And God willing, when we do begin to return to more normal circumstances, he will continue to build his church, and he will bless it, and there will be a church on this earth to the glory of God throughout the ages to come. May the Lord, I should say the generations to come would have been a better word. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts today, and may this text be a blessing and a comfort throughout the year that is to come. We do hope to have little motto text cards available. I'd hope to have them for next week, but with the shutout, it might be a little longer before you get them, but we'll get them to you as quickly as possible, and may this text be a comfort to you in months that are to come. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Father, bless thy word to our hearts. We thank you for the promises of God's word. We're standing upon the promises of God. Though the psalmist could say, or Israel could say, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey. Lord, when they sought to swallow up the people of God in a bygone era, then the Lord showed himself mighty on behalf of his people and his church. And he overthrew the enemies, and he strengthened his people, and his church remained and maintained their witness on this earth. We pray that thou wilt do likewise at this time and in these days. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt be pleased to preserve, strengthen, and bless thy church, add to it and build it for the glory of God. We pray that soon we will be able to have that full biblical ministry and fellowship that Christ determined for his people and his church. Hasten the day we ask of thee. And in the meantime, may the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith be our portion now and in the days that are to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do remember the funeral service will be streamed at 2:30 and then the evening gospel service tonight at 7 o'clock. God bless.